Brother Krantz has already given me a PIM, amen, and to make sure that we get back and preach to as many Liberians as we can to make sure that they're in the church, because I don't believe it's God's intent for them to suffer over here and then suffer in the world to come. Praise God, praise God. And so we are so thankful, amen, that you have included us as one of your partners in mission. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're in the book of Jude. Amen. The book of Jude. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. The book of Jude. Verse number 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Kind Father, we're asking that you bless this message tonight, that you will encourage the hearts of your people. You know the need that's here. I don't know the need, but I'm believing that you will minister to your people tonight, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight by the help of God, about a God that you can count on. Amen. A God that can do what no other power is able to do. Praise God. Praise the name of our God. Talking about a God that is able tonight. Amen. Now, I realize tonight that your situation here in California is not the same as ours in Liberia. We're not concerned about a bunch of rebels coming in here now, you know, and taking out whoever they want, you know. We're not concerned about that. But whatever your situation might be tonight, whatever problem you might be facing tonight, whatever circumstances you find yourself in tonight is just as real to you as our problems are to us in Liberia. But what I want you to know tonight is the same God that's given us victory in Liberia, he's the same God that's here tonight, amen. And I feel victory in this place. Oh, praise God. I feel victory in here tonight in Jesus' name. Praise the name of our God. Praise God. You know, some of those people you saw on the DVD, some of those people have not eaten. You know, maybe for 2 or 3 days they have not eaten. Some of them have lost all of their family members or a portion of their family. Some have been separated from their family since 1990 and don't even know if they're alive or not. But when we come to worshiping God, you'll never know that they have suffered like this. Brother Krantz, if you were in Liberia now, and then one of those churches preaching, you'll never know that we have ever gone through a war, except when you go outside and you see all of the destruction. But God has shown us tonight that in whatever situation we find ourselves in, he's a God that's in control. He's the one that's in control, amen. Sometimes we feel that God's not in control, but God's in control of this thing, amen. Praise the name of our God. You know, we pray that nothing like this would ever happen. Amen. You know, I might as well apologize first. I normally do, amen, because you see me drinking a lot tonight. I normally don't drink when I'm preaching. But since I have been out here in the West just doesn't agree with me. And I picked up some kind of allergy, and when this thing starts tickling in my throat, if I don't short-stop it with this water right quick, I'd have to take a coughing break. So, you know, I'd try to short-stop it. So y'all pray, amen, that this water will short-stop it, amen. Praise the name of our God. But, you know, we don't want this thing to happen, especially, you know, like in our own country here. Because I tell you, lawlessness and people disregarding God and everything they were doing was by demonic powers and things like that. And just total chaos. I don't want that to happen anywhere. And especially our own country. But I can tell you, Pastor, America is beginning to make me afraid. When I sometimes listen at the type of laws, as we were saying, Africa, our big, big people, you know, the big government people, the type of laws that they are passing and the way that they want to get God out of everything. Don't want nothing to do with God. I was listening to a preacher not long ago, and he said, you know, he was reminding us that this country was founded on Christian principles. Amen. God helped us. God prospered us. And now that we have got, that He has prospered us, we don't want nothing to do with God. Just get rid of God. Amen. And that's what make me afraid. Amen. And I don't know tomorrow, church, but what I came to tell you tonight, that whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever situation that you find yourself in, if you just stay saved and stay faithful to God, God's going to give you the victory, amen, because He's in control. He's in control. Praise the name of our God. And I believe that God allowed us to go through some things in Liberia that we can share it with our churches here in North America. And God gave us these four things to share with you from the war in Liberia. And the first one is, we are serving a God that you can count on. I said, we are serving a God that you can count on. There are not many people you can count on, but we are serving a God that you can count on, amen. And the second one is, our God is able. I don't care tonight what you might be going through. I don't care what situation you might be facing. Our God's able to give victory tonight. Not victory tomorrow. Not victory ahead. But victory tonight in Jesus. Oh, praise God. In Jesus' name. Praise the name of our God. And the third thing is, God's got the last word. I said, God's got the last word. And the fourth one is, it ain't over until God says it's over, because God's got the last word. Praise God. I'm glad that I know tonight that the doctors, they don't have the last word. The lawyers don't have the last word. Those fighters in Liberia, they don't have the last word. And the devil himself, he doesn't have the last word. Word. Sometimes the devil gets on our track, trying to get us to turn back, trying to get us down and discouraged, trying to convince us that the road is too rough and the going is too tough, trying to convince us that we're just a bunch of have-beens, that we might as well throw in the towel and hang it up. But I came to tell you tonight, it ain't over until God said, oh, praise God, until God says it's over, because God's got the last word. God's got the last word. Oh, praise God. So I don't care tonight what you might be going through. I don't care what trial you might be facing. Our God is able. You might have come here tonight with a physical need. Could be an emotional need. Could be a battle for the mind. Could be some type of spiritual problem you're facing. Could be domestic anxiety. Panic. I don't care what you came here with tonight. There's victory in this place tonight. In Jesus' name. Praise the name of our God. Praise God. Praise God. And now, as we said earlier, your situation here, not the same as ours over there. But what we want you to realize is the same God that delivered us in Liberia is the same God that's here tonight, and there is deliverance in here tonight. Praise the name of our God. Praise God. You know, when the fighting was drawing close to Monrovia, the last call that we received from America, before the phone lines went down, came from Brother Gazowski in California, Brother Gazowski in San Francisco, because I am in California, amen. Brother Gazowski in San Francisco, amen. And so Brother Gazowski said it was 2 o'clock in the morning, California time, and they was having an all-night prayer meeting. And he says God told him So call Brother Stewart right now and let him know when the fighting hit Monrovia, nothing will happen to him and his family. Praise God. Now, church, I don't know what that might have done to you, but that encouraged us. That gave us something to hang on to. We had a word from the Lord that nothing was going to happen, and nothing happened to any of us. Praise the name of our God. Because when the rebels pushed up to my bank fence, the army met them on the front fence. We had an acre of land there fenced in, and we were caught right in the middle of that crossfire for 17 days. Every day we were taking bullets in the house, but we were getting maybe only 10 to 15 bullets, and I was there with six of our children. Sister Stewart had come back to the States to bring our oldest daughter to get her in college. So that's why I heard our oldest daughter was not there. But every day, you know, we were getting maybe 10 to 15 bullets because they didn't know that we were in the house. Because at that time, most of the Americans had been evacuated. But after about a week, we ran out of water. So there was a village behind my house. And then these guys were fighting day and night, right there all through the yard. You hear them running around the house and all, you know, day and night. But about 6 o'clock in the morning, they take a break. The rebels will go back to their area. The army will pull back to the radio station. And that time, we could jump the fence and get water from the well in that little village back there. But one morning, the soldiers, the government soldiers, caught us coming back with that water. And about a half hour later, they came and attacked the house. And me and our son testified. We were on the second floor. The other five children were down in the basement, you know, which was the safest place. So we tried to stay in the basement under the stairs all the time. But me and testified came up that morning to get something. So I just hollered down there and told them, I said, look, you guys got to stay there. I can't come because I'd have to pass a wooden door. And that wooden door don't even slow bullets down. The first bullet that came through our house, we've got it on display back there. Barely missed our son, Timmy, you know, when the first one that came in our house when they started fighting that morning. So I knew we couldn't take that chance to go past that wooden door. But I told Testify, I said, look like these people are purposely attacking the house today because normally we hear five or six glasses breaking, but this day looked like every glass in the house was breaking. And so when the rebels heard all of that shooting, they didn't know what was going on because we were right on the front. And so when the rebels were in their rear and they heard all that shooting, they rushed up there to see what was going on. They saw the army attacking our house. So the rebels fought the army back off of us. Praise God. So at that time, I was able to get up and assess the damage that had been done. And sure enough, they had purposely attacked the house. Now, me and Testify was in the hallway upstairs with our back to this wall. On the other side of that wall was one of our bedrooms. And through that bedroom and in the back on the other side of that wall where we had our back to, they had put over 200 rounds into that window. Little bullet marks was all over that place there. And you know, the most amazing thing is, through that same window and then through that same wall, they put three rocket-propelled grenades. Now, I'm sure that you have seen somehow, somewhere, how these grenades operate when they're fired from the launcher there. And then when they hit that concrete wall, they normally explode on impact to try to break that wall down. But church, all three of these just lodged right into the wall. Not one exploded, amen. I said, you know why? Because we are serving a God that you can count on. When God say nothing is going to happen, you can count on it, amen. Praise the name of our God. You can count on it, amen. We waited around. It was in the morning. So I decided, let me go downstairs and fix these children some breakfast. And while I went downstairs, I heard the soldiers, they came back. I heard them speaking in their dialect under my carport. I said, I'd better identify myself because if one of the children start downstairs, they open fire from here, they're going to kill somebody for sure. So I told them, this is Reverend Stewart. I'm an American missionary. What do you guys want? They say, what do you have for us? Put it out the window. They wanted money. I said, I don't have anything. They said, come to the window, let us see you. I went to the window, they saw me. They said, open the door, let us come in. But I wanted them to come in so they could see I had no arms, I had no ammunition, I had no rebels, I had nothing to hide from them. But when they walked in that morning, the one that was leading them said, we need $10,000 from you today. I said, $10,000? I said, man, I'm a missionary. Where am I going to get $10,000 from? I said, you guys don't know me. They said, no, we don't know you. And I was trying to pick among those soldiers, see if I knew any, because we were military advisors there for 5 years. And I knew most of the soldiers there. And, you know, being an old soldier myself, you know, we always friendly to the soldiers. Where most other people, you know, they just disregard the soldiers. But I never passed soldiers without giving them a ride. Special holidays, my wife will fix, you know, a good refreshment for them. We'll find the soldiers there. You know, just have a little fellowship with the soldiers there. And but I didn't know any of these guys. And so our oldest son testified. One of them looked at him. He was 13. They said, man, this guy's good to go. That meant that they want to take him and make a fighter out of him. And I was thinking to myself, man, you're going to have some problem here now. Amen. But then the one who was leading them, he kept looking at me. And finally, he said, wait a minute. He said, ain't you the papa or the old man that ride the big motorcycle? I said, yes. He's always got your little son on the back. I said, yes. You know, church, he told those other soldiers, he said, this is our papa here. Said, this man and his family have been good to us. We're not doing anything to them. Praise God. Praise God. And at that time, the soldiers were going around beheading people. They were raping. They were doing anything they want, you know. And you know, when you got your family there, those soldiers know how to get that money. Even though I didn't have $10,000, but they could have got everything that I have because they know how to get it. They'll take one of your children, put that M16 in that child's mouth, threaten to blow their brains out, and you know they'll do it, amen. I mean, they wouldn't think no second thought about doing it. I mean, when they do that, you'll empty every little cubby hole you got and give them all the money you have, amen. But you know, church, not one time did they put a weapon in my children's mouth. Not one time did they put a weapon at their head. Not one time did they touch my girls. I said, you know why? Because we are serving a God that you can count on. Oh, praise God. You can count on him, amen. Praise the, oh, praise God. And even today, when the Liberia is here, that the soldiers came in our house at that time and nothing happened to any of us, they still can't believe it. But we're serving a God that you can count on, amen. Praise God. When Brother Gazowski came, he brought two of those little portable swimming pools, you know, with the little tin thing, and you put the little plastic around it, and he brought them for baptismal tanks. And so after, when he was going, he left them with me. So I managed in between the shooting to get two of those tanks put up out there, those swimming pools, you know, thought I could catch up some water. Well, I guess those soldiers thought I put it out there for them to shoot. And they saw that thing, they just shot it all apart, amen. So now there was no way for us to get water because they didn't want to see us outside anymore. When we come outside, those guys would start shooting. So, but a year before we had gone to Liberia, our oldest daughter was behind us. She said, Daddy, you know, if I had a waterbed would sleep so cool. I said, but you know we don't have money for a waterbed. She wouldn't give up. She stayed behind us for that waterbed until finally we found one that we could afford, and we bought it. Now, as far as we were concerned, we were buying that waterbed because our daughter wanted it. Not knowing God in his infinite wisdom, we're using that same waterbed for a storage tank because the only water we had to drink for the next 7 days was from that waterbed. Praise God. Church, I'm glad to know tonight that we are serving a God that knows the ending from the beginning. Amen. He knows our needs a year before they happened, amen. He knew we need water, amen. And he made sure that water was there. Oh, praise God, when we needed it. Praise the name of our God. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody said, well, Elder, what about the chemical that was in the water? Man, we bought that water bed. Nobody told us about chemicals. We just put water in it, amen. But you see how good God is? We're to put those chemicals in there and run all that good water. Praise God. Easter Sunday, 1996, me and my wife were sitting in my office, had six of the children there with us, truckload of fighters, about a 2.5-ton truckload, about 50 or 60 of those guys came up, and I saw the truck when it pulled up. I told Sister Stewart, I said, these fighters are here. So her and five of the children ran into the little Bible school office, and me and our 17-year-old son, Timmy, decided, let's see what these guys are going to do. Well, they came to loot. And some of our pastors and ministers and saints that had cars and had, you know, motorcycles, bicycles, and good personal items, they brought them on the church campus for us to keep, thinking that they were going to be safe. Well, they came to take everything. And they started just looting the whole garage. They're taking the cars, the motorcycles, the bicycles, everything they were taking. So one of the cars were giving them a hard time. They couldn't hotwire it. So they didn't know that we were in the big building there, which is the district office and the Bible school. And we live up on the second floor. But they saw some of our members in this little building behind. So they went back there, started demanding the car key. And they said, we don't have the key. The people didn't leave the key with us. Say, if you don't give us the key, we're going to start killing you one by one. And I knew they would have done it. So I told Timmy, I said, let me give these guys the key before they kill our people back there. But by that time, they had already hotwired the car and taken it. So they left our church people behind. Now they want to come in the building where we were, but they didn't know that we were in there because most of the Americans had been evacuated again by that time. And so we didn't know that we were in there, Pastor, you know, with the door unlocked. But we had one of our young Liberian boys was hiding under my office desk. He realized that office door was not locked. And when he looked through the window, saw those armed men approaching that unlocked door, he began to plead the blood and to rebuke them in Jesus' name. Praise God. And when the first fighter came up, hit that unlocked door, God locked it, and the fighters couldn't get in the building where we were. They kicked that door. They knocked that door, but God had locked it. Oh, praise God. Praise God. You know why? Because he's a God that you can count on. That day, Sister Stewart, all four of our daughters were there. And the thing these rebels can do, you know, when women are around, you don't even want to know about it. Hey, but God, you can count on him. The peacekeepers from Ghana, our neighbors across the way, they came to our rescue. They were not even supposed to get involved because they didn't have a mandate. But they said, Reverend, we can't see these guys do you and your family like this. We have to take you all to our barracks for safety. So they took Sister Stewart, the girls, and Junior over to their barracks. And so I had my embassy radio, and I was trying to protect my radio. But we had three of the big motorcycles that these fighters didn't take before the peacekeepers came. So Timmy grabbed one of the motorcycles. His friend grabbed one. So they started pushing the motorcycles with the peacekeeper going to the army barracks there. But when they got outside the gate, another truckload of fighters pulled up. And they saw those motorcycles. Those guys jumped down, started demanding the motorcycle. One came to Timmy and said, give me that motorcycle. Now, had that been me, Pastor, I would have given him the motorcycle. But you know how teenagers are sometimes. Timmy started arguing with the guy. Said, no, you all have taken too much from us today. You're not getting anything else from us. So the guy stood back, drew his weapon on Timmy, said, if you don't put that motorcycle on the kickstand, said, I'm going to shoot you. Well, the peacekeeper drew his weapon on the fighter, said, if you shoot him, I'm going to shoot you. Now, here's Sister Stewart, our daughters and Junior, on the fourth floor of that army barracks there, watching this whole drama. Sister Stewart hollered down there, Timmy, let that guy have that motorcycle. But Timmy was determined not to lose another motorcycle, amen. But to show you how good God is, we've got another fighter there. He fought as Jack the Rebel, General Jack the Rebel. Now, Jack the Rebel is just a known killer, a mass killer. That's all Jack is known for. If you went to Liberia now, you ask him, you heard anybody fought as Jack the Rebel? Oh, that mass killer. Everybody know him as a mass killer. But Jack came by, and he saw, you know, what was going on. So he went up to Timmy, and he said, well, whose motorcycle is it? Timmy said, this is my father's motorcycle. Jack didn't take no second thoughts. He drew back. He hit that fighter. The fighter went one way. His weapon went the other way. And nothing happened to Timmy that day. I said, you know why? Because we are serving a God that you can count on. Amen. When God said nothing is going to happen, even if he has to use people like Jack the Rebel, God will make sure that nothing happens. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not only is he able to deliver, but he is able to heal, and he's able to move mountains. Thank you, sir. He's a mountain-moving God. Our son testified when 20 years old, attending Christian Life College there in Stockton, got injured playing basketball. Well, you know, 20-year-old young man playing ball, you can get injured, that's not anything. He went to the doctor, they sent him for therapy, he was taking his therapy. But we didn't know how bad it was. When Sister Stewart and the children were evacuated, he called and he said, Mama, I don't even go to class anymore. I'm in the dorm most of the time just sick and in pain. So she sent for him to come home in Florida. And when he arrived in Florida, she was surprised, Pastor. You know, he couldn't even turn his neck like that. He had to turn his whole body when he turned. She took him to our family physician. He checked him out, sent him for more therapy. They just twisted him, giving him all this physical therapy. The boy's neck just getting swollen all down through here. So one of the sisters told Sister Stewart, said, look, you better try and take that boy to the base and let them take a look at it. She took him out to Tyndall Air Force Base, and the doctor, she just felt his neck. No x-ray, no nothing. Just from feeling his neck. And she said, well, this ain't no sports injury here. And so she immediately ordered an MRI. And when that MRI came back, showed all of his limp nose was all swollen and all ruptured down through there. Now, here I am sitting in Liberia worrying about the war, how we going to keep our people alive and getting food for them. Only thing I know is that our son's been injured, but he's taking therapy, so he's going to be all right. But one day, Pastor, I received a fax from the headquarters. And when I read that fax, my whole world came apart. The fax says, your son Tesfai have cancer in the advanced stage, and you need to get home immediately. Now, church, I have been with our people there throughout the fighting. They've never seen me break down. God has always given me the strength, you know, to encourage them that it's going to be all right. Amen. But when I read that fax, I just came unglued, broke down and cried just like a baby. But thank God, the elders were there. Amen. Praise God. And they gathered around, and they prayed for me, and I got a little strength, and I went on upstairs to where we live, and I began continuing to pray and began to sing one of our favorite songs. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, this mountain shall be moved. I began to speak to that mountain. I began to rebuke that mountain in Jesus' name. I began to claim victory over the mountain. Praise God. And the next week, I was evacuated out by the Marines. And when I arrived in our home in Panama City, Florida, my wife had taken the boy over to Eglin Air Force Base, a larger hospital there. So I just dropped my bag, jumped in the car, drove straight over to Eglin. And when I got there, Pastor, you know, God worked it out. As I was coming up to the hospital entrance, I met my wife, one of our older sons, and the sick boy coming out of the hospital. And they were all rejoicing and had a little skip in their walk. And I asked Sister Stewart, I said, what do you have? to be so excited about. You know what she said? It's not cancer. It's not cancer. Praise God. Church, I'm talking about a God that's able to heal. A God that's able to move mountains. He is a mountain-moving God. You got a mountain in your life tonight. God wants to give you victory over that mountain. God wants to move that mountain from you. That mountain that's been giving you problems. That mountain you've been trying to climb. That mountain that's laughing at you every day. That mountain that's condemning you every day. I said, God wants to give you victory over that mountain. Praise God. I heard the Bible say weeping will endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I don't know about you, but I feel some victory. I feel some joy. I feel some mountains being removed. He is a mountain moving God. Praise God. You know, when we were coming up in the church long time ago, we used to sing the song, said, Lord, don't move the mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. But Pastor, I like the new song better. The new song said, move mountain, mountain. Get out of my way. I'm tired of climbing the mountain. I want victory over the mountain. I want the mountain out of my way. And church, we are serving a mountain-moving God. God never told us to go climbing the mountains, but he says, speak to that mountain. Speak to that mountain. Amen. Somebody here tonight, you need to start speaking to that mountain. You need to start claiming victory over that mountain in Jesus' name. That mountain of doubt, that mountain of fear, that mountain of unbelief. I said, God didn't give us that spirit of fear. You need to start speaking to that mountain tonight. That mountain of indecision. That mountain of frustration. That mountain of sickness. You need to speak to that mountain tonight. That mountain of financial problems. That mountain of worrying. Amen. We worry about things we can't do nothing about. You need to start speaking to that mountain tonight. That mountain of anxiety attacks and panic attacks and oppression and depression. I said there's victory in here tonight. He is a mountain moving God. Oh, praise God. You need to start speaking to that mountain. Speak to that mountain. Get victory over that mountain. Amen. Praise God. I said, church, I tell you, the Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is here. Victory is here tonight. I feel faith here tonight. Praise God. Don't keep trying to climb the mountain. Let God move it from you tonight. Start speaking to it tonight. Claim victory over tonight. In Jesus' name. He's a mountain mover. He can move that mountain. God can do it. God can do it. Oh, yes. I said, God can do it for you tonight. Do it for me, Lord. Do it for me, Lord. God can do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on, church. We need to stand and respond to the Holy Ghost. Come on, now let's lift our hands and speak to our need. Oh, I believe you come. Oh, I believe you, God. I believe you, God. I believe you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to respond in faith. I'm going to ask you to step out on what you heard. If you believe the preacher tonight, I'm going to ask you to come right down here in the front, gather in as close as you can. I think God wants to touch us. think God wants to do something for us, I want to tell you what's going to happen. You got two choices. You can believe by faith and worship till it comes, or you can just forget what He said. That's your option. I choose to believe by faith and worship till it comes. Oh, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe with my faith and worship till it comes. Well, it's a Tuesday night, Pastor. God don't know it's Tuesday. That don't scare God. Let's act in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I love you, God. Oh, I love you, God. Father, in your name. Father, in your name. Father, in your name. Holy God, holy God, holy God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's stay here a minute. God, I know you can. 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 I know you can. I know you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, we need some kind of point of faith here. That's what we need to do. We need some kind of point of faith. How many of you have a real issue that maybe you've been fighting with, struggling with, and you just can't get over it? I mean, you can't get over it, but in your spirit you just feel like you can't get over it. How many of you would be willing to admit that? Brother Krantz, in my spirit I can't get over this. Anybody got that? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. All of you who believe what the preacher had to say, I'm going to ask you to gather around those who are having trouble with their faith, and we're going to pray for that one. How about that? All of you who got plenty of faith, run back there and pray for those right now. Come on, let's make our way. Let's move, let's move. Come on, let's go, let's go. If you believe the preacher, you go find them, and let's pray for them and ask that God to help them. Oh, let the faith stir in your heart. Hallelujah. God, we know you can. We believe you're able, Jesus. Oh, there you go. Come on, church. Let's call on God like we really know He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. All right, there we go. There's one of them. Let's let the Holy Ghost have its way. Come on, ladies, pray for them right now. God, in your name. God, I come against sickness. God, I come against unbelief. God, I come against doubt in the name of Jesus. I release a healing. I release a blessing. Oh, put on your blessing right now, God, in a mighty way. Oh, come on, ladies. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Tonight's a good night to get the Holy Ghost. Tonight's a good night to get healing. Tonight's a good night for a miracle in your home. Tonight's a good night for a financial breakthrough. Tonight's a good night for God's arm to be revealed. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, ladies, let's pray. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of the Lord.